Acharya Shri Prabhupada ki. This can found the Acharya Shri Prabhupada ki. Anantakoti Vaishnavrindi ki. Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur ki. Prem Saiga Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrindi ki. Shri Radha Krishna Gaura Gopagopi Nasyama Kunda Radha Kani Giri Gaura Bhakta ki. Shri Vrindavan Thama ki. Shri Mayapur Thama ki. Ganga Maya ki. Jamuna Maya ki. Bhakti Devi ki. Tulasi Devi ki. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindi ki. Janitai Gaura Vrindi ki. All glorious to Sambhavasis. All glorious to Sambhavasis. All glorious to Sambhavasis. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glorious to Sambhavasis. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tato
Vatsan
Adrishvaitya Kumine Api Cha
Vatsapan
Udbhava
Api
Vane
Krishna
Vichikkhaya Samantata Tato Vatsan Adrishvaityan Pulinehi Cha Vatsapan Udbhava Pivane
Krishna
Vichikkhaya Samantata Tato Vatsan Adrishvaitya Pulinehi Cha Vatsapan Udbhava Pivane
Krishna
Vichikkhaya Samantata Tato Vatsan Adishtvaitya Pulinehi Cha Vatsapan Udbhava Pivane
Krishna
Vichikkhaya Samantata
Vichikkhaya Samantata
Tato
Vatsan Adishtvaitya Pulinehi Cha Vatsapan Udbhava Pivane Krishna Vichikkhaya Samantata
Vichikkhaya Samantata
Krishna was unable to find the calves. He returned to the bank of the river, but there he was unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Purport. Krishna could immediately understand that Brahma had taken away both the calves and the boys. But as an innocent child, he searched here and there so that Brahma could not understand Krishna's maya. This was all a dramatic performance. A player knows everything, but still he plays on stage in such a way that others do not understand him. So Lord Brahma, he was wanting to see Krishna's power, Krishna's power. Because Krishna had, you know, killed this Agasura demon. And so then Brahma thought was such a powerful person, so he wanted to see how powerful, because he is great. Now, one may ask, well, how would Brahma not understand that this was the Lord, or have a doubt? That was because Brahma is used to everything being very formal. Vishnu is very formal. You perform yajna, he comes, he takes part, he does all these things. Then it works very nicely. It's very obvious. Okay, here is God. Right? He's, they're all sitting there, and he comes and more resplendent and more powerful and everything. Everybody is respecting him and all this and that. So it's very obvious. You know, like many times you see, you know, some devotee will be standing on the road, and or just general public is coming by, and then someone comes up and then respects that person, then that public, then automatically, then they also, oh, this must be somebody special. Like that. So in that situation, then Brahma and the demigods very easily can understand Lord Vishnu. Yeah, because there, everybody's there, they're chanting prayers, the Brahmins, the Siddhas, the Charanas, the Gandharvas, the Yajna is going on, it's all happening, great opulence. So then it's obvious that you can say, okay, here's God. But now we see that the Lord is sitting with his cowherd boyfriends. And sitting with them, they're just laughing and joking. You know, that's what they're doing. You know, I mean, because when they're around, then they're very formal, and Brahma's there, Shiva's there, they're all offering their prayers. I think it was, there's something mentioned in Nectar Devotion about in Dwarka, then Krishna is there, and every day, because in the court, the king goes to the court, you know, at 6 in the morning, like that, after he gets up, he takes his bath, performs his, you know, morning sadhana, he performs his yajnas, gives some charity to the Brahmins, and then he enters the court. Then entering the court, he stays there till up to just before noon. Then he goes and then he meets with his ministers and prime ministers, you know, very intimate people regarding the political affairs. Then he goes, has his lunch with the family, takes a little rest, and then again in the evening comes out into the official life. So basically you have 5-6 hours that he will spend in the court. And in that situation, then he will see anyone who is coming to see him. You know, but they have to be in order of who's there. You know, if any of the Brahmins have business, then they're first, Kshatriyas, then next. Like this, it goes down according to their position. So then the demigods are waiting there to see Krishna. But they are making so much noise and this and that. So then one of the servants has to tell Indra, you know, you please don't rehearse your prayers that you're going to offer to Krishna so loudly. And this other person, don't get, you know, so impatient. You just sit there peacefully. So all these demigods have to be told by the Lord's associates, so just, you know, calm down, be peaceful, everything will be okay. So that's what they're used to, right? So, but here, we see this is not what's going on. Krishna's just there laughing and joking. You know, he's holding his court, but this court is a court of just jokes. Right? They're just joking with each other, sharing their food, eating this, that, laughing. So then he becomes bewildered that maybe this is not God. Maybe somebody very powerful, some powerful yogi, some powerful mystic, but maybe not God. Because otherwise, he's never seen God just sit around and, you know, laugh and joke like this. You know, even if he does make some kind of, you know, something humorous, it'll be very, very formal, and they may make something. And then everybody will just nicely smile or something. It won't be that they're rolling on the ground in laughter and joking with each other. And especially no one would make the Lord, you know, part of the joke. You know, but here, Madhu Mangal and the others, and then they also joke with Krishna. So this won't be seen. So therefore, he's bewildered. And so then, now he has then, to Chet, he thought, okay, I will take them and let's see what this person does. So then, seeing what he does, then Krishna now first just plays as if he is bewildered. He's, if he had been observant, then Brahma would have noticed that Krishna also played as if he didn't know what was going on. When all the cowherd boys entered the mouth of Agasura, then he also acted as if he was bewildered. And then after that, he went and killed Agasura. So the same thing now he is doing to Brahma. But the point is this is all going on with Krishna's Maya. Brahma thinks it's his Maya, but you can't put his Maya on Krishna's Maya. He has some potency, but not like Krishna has. So he thinks he's even stole the calves, right? The calves wander off, he stole them. Then when Krishna goes and looks for them, then he steals the cowherd boys. What he doesn't know is these are eternal expansions of his own form. So what he's stolen is Maya calves and Maya cowherd boys. So he doesn't know that the eternal associates, they haven't been taken. Because he is under this illusion. We see this many, many times. Krishna puts his Maya, even on Balaram. Balaram can't understand. So Balaram can tell something's going on.
but he can't tell the details. Because Krishna being his source, even though they're identical, still because Krishna is the source, there's always something that the source has that the expansion doesn't. Like that. You cannot fully know the source like that. That you can't know. So then even Balaram sometimes becomes bewildered and doesn't, can tell that Krishna is up to something, but he can't exactly tell what. Others can't tell at all, but he can tell something's going on here. There's something strange here. So we see this a lot happening. In Vrindavan it happens in the Kaliya Leela, but otherwise you see it also happen sometimes in Dwarka. Occasionally it happens that Krishna even covers. What's the pastime with Subhadra? Then Arjuna was covered by Krishna's mind. So even Balaram and Subhadra, right, she's Yoga Maya, she's the Swarup Shakti. That means whatever is going on in the creation, the cosmic creation, she knows. Because she's the existence of it all. Right? Everything exists from her. Right? And he is the Lord of the existence potency. So even she doesn't know. And Balaram, he is the Lord of all the potencies. He doesn't know. And here's Arjuna, he's just one of the associates. And he's able to fool Balaram and Subhadra for 4 months. Right? And that's right in their own house. Right? It's not that, you know, I mean, one would think, even Subhadra thought for a moment, okay, well, here's this sadhu, okay, like that, but he doesn't look like any other sadhu I've ever seen, right? You know, he's very big, broad shoulders, powerful, you know, muscular, you know, like this. And, you know, he has marks of someone who's a kshatriya, you know, where the bowstring goes and these other things. But somehow or another, and, you know, and not only that, he's gazing at her with some interest, right? Now, generally, you know, sannyasis don't do that when they go into someone's house. So here he's a sannyasi. Here he's kind of looking at her like, you know, he's something interested. And what does she think? Oh, well, you know, maybe, you know, he practices martial arts. Maybe he's, you know, in the mood looking for a wife, but not her. But, you know, he's in that mood. So, you know, when he goes out after Chaturmas, maybe he'll find somebody. This is what she's thinking, right? So, and Balaram just thinks it's a nice arrangement. Sadhu has come like this. Subhadra can get some good piety by serving the Brahmins like this. Like that, so he's happy. Right? We see so many times that this would be arrangements of the father that the daughters especially would be able to serve Brahmins. And this way then they would get blessings. Right? Radharani got the blessings of, I think, Durvasa Muni. Also Kunti got the blessings of Durvasa. Shakuntala half got blessings and half not got blessings. Like this. So it's a very... It's always Durvasa. Oh, Gandhari got the blessings of Vyasadeva. She'd have 100 sons. So it's very common. Satyavati, she got the blessings of Parasara Muni. So there was always arranged that they would do service, and in this way then they would get blessings, then their life would be go nicely. So then... So Balaram was just thinking it's a nice arrangement. Subhadra's, you know, gaining so much, you know, pious activities before she's going to be married to Duryodhana, like that. But so he didn't understand that this was Krishna's arrangement, that she would be married to Arjuna. So we can see Krishna's maya is such that no one can overcome it like that. Even Yoga Maya, who is the maya, even she can get bewildered by it. That's the thing, is even she as Shakti, even so she's a Swarup Shakti, still there's more beyond. That's the, Prabhupada makes his point, is there's material, there's spiritual, then there's Krishna. Right? Generally we think of Krishna as spiritual. But spiritual is coming from Krishna, so Krishna is in another category altogether. Right? The spiritual world is spiritual, the jivas are spiritual. all the energies are spiritual, but Krishna is not spiritual. He's something else. Because he's the origin of spiritual. That means he's self-sufficient. He doesn't need the energies because the energies are him. He can do everything himself. But at the same time, he expands those energies to interact. Therefore, now and again, he shows these points just to keep everything, you know, balanced so that nobody gets off the track. And now and again, Krishna then does all these things. For those who have affection for it, it increases that. For those who don't, then it awakens it. And that at least puts, you know, makes them aware of the proper situation. So then we can see Krishna's doing this to Brahma. So now, you know, this is on his platform and he's doing, so we can see here is a few things. As one is, one should always be careful, one should never try to, means one tests, it's natural, one tests a senior, you know, a senior person if they want to see, if they want to get more involved with them, closer to them and that. So they have to be sure that they can trust them, that they can put their faith there. So that must be done. But it's not through arrogance. It's not through feeling one is superior, that one is more intelligent, one is more clever. Then one, like Brahma, will be bewildered. Because we always have to remember that Krishna, he is Guru. Right? When we say Guru, that's Krishna. And then Krishna comes to us as Guru through the senior devotees. So, you may be able to bewilder a senior devotee, but you can't bewilder Krishna. And since that potency of seniorness is from Krishna and is manifest in that devotee, Krishna is going to bewilder the person who's doing it. Right? So here we see, Brahma therefore became bewildered. He was trying, but he just became bewildered. His first is the bewilderment to think that you can. See, generally we're very much confident that we're in control. We know what we're doing. What we're doing is making it happen. But actually, behind the scenes, is Krishna's running everything. We go, okay, here, up, you know, like this. This was all a dramatic performance. So yeah, that's Krishna, but here is reality. This is not drama. This is also drama. It's just that the difference is Krishna knows it's a drama, and we think it's real life. You know, we actually think that this is real. You know, I have this desire. I'm hungry. But why are you hungry? The modes of nature arrange that you're hungry. Right? Like that. It's not that you ate 2 minutes ago and now you're hungry. You know, unless you're below 18. Then these things are possible. Like that. But otherwise, then no. You ate. Why did you eat? You were hungry. Why were you hungry? The modes of nature. Why aren't you hungry now? The modes of nature arrange you're not hungry. You know? Why do we get full? How do we know when we get full? The modes of nature arrange that. Like that. I had heard that there was one man, that there was, I think it's some hormone or something, that lets you know you're full. So this man didn't have that. So he kept eating until, you know, in fact, he killed himself. So he arranged a thing. He had his table and chair set, I think even screwed into the floor, at a certain distance. So when his stomach became a certain amount of full, the stomach would touch the table. And so like this was going on for, you know, many years, I don't know, 20 years or whatever it is. One day, somehow or another, the servant moved the chair, you know, in his doing and didn't put it back in its normal place. Guy sat down to the meal, he ate until he killed himself. Because he didn't know. So it's the modes of nature. They arrange all these things for us. You know? So this is the thing. But we think, so it's just a drama of the modes of nature. The modes of nature are, they're the ones having fun, right? Right? It's just like, okay, you have the man on the stage. He knows he's playing the part. Right? And so then the other comes out and insults him and this and that, and then he says his lines, they say their lines, they walk off, you know, they exit the stage at their proper times. Then, you know, they say it with feeling, they do all these things, it's very convincing to everybody, but everyone knows it's a drama and they know it's a drama. So when they walk off stage, then they talk to each other and yeah, that went okay, and this and that, and wow, very convincing, all these things. But now you can imagine if the person really thinks, I am this person. Right? And then he's insulted me. What? You're saying these things? You know, like this. And then off stage, how can you tell that to me? Why are you saying like this? You know. Then it would create a... It would, then everyone would go, what's wrong with this guy? You know, something's wrong here. So that's what's happened in the material world, is we take it so seriously that we think, I am this part. You know, I am this, you know, personality that appeared in this way and has this nature and everything like that. But if you see, it's all being controlled by higher authorities. Right? We have that famous picture where you have the man, you know, in his suit and his cane and all that, and he's, you know, kind of like, what do you call it? Like dealing in a demeaning way with, you know, someone else, a laborer who's there with a shovel and shoveling the dirt and all that. And then if we look above that, then we have this lady in the clouds with all these, you know, strings and that, but she's just operating like that. So that was Triguna Mayi. She just makes everything work. So it's her pastime, right? All the feminine principle is all her. All the masculine principle is her husband. So what's happening, she's just interacting with her husband, right? But we think, this is me. I'm the man, I'm the woman, I'm the this, I'm the that, I'm the so many things. So they're just having their fun, right? And we're the idiots that think this is real. So then, that's the thing. It's the higher Maya. We think our Maya is at work, but there's higher Maya. So this is what's going on. So Brahma then, he doesn't understand that it's actually Krishna's arranging all this. In fact, Krishna's just having fun with Brahma. He has this idea, so Krishna arranges it. Right? His cowherd boys don't go, I mean his cows don't go anywhere without his sanction. Right? Yoga Maya won't take them anywhere unless he approves it. Brahma thinks he's leading them away. No, Krishna's allowing it. But what he's leading away are not the real calves. Like that. Just like when Ravana took Sita, he didn't get the real Sita. So also, Brahma doesn't get the real cowherd boys, the cowherd cows. So then he plays the part, looks bewildered, looks around. Then Brahma can think, okay, we're getting somewhere. Right? Because otherwise, it's not as fun. See, the thing is when it's in the stage of desire, or the early stages, the reaction is less. Right? If someone just starts something, they're not so confident. So they're very, not so far off the track. So then, to do anything then, it's very short to get back on the track. But, if the desire or the anartha is very deep, then that amount of correction isn't as intense by volume as the anartha itself. Does this make sense? Okay? So then, what Krishna does, if Krishna at this point just goes, alright Brahma, where are the cows and calves? You know? Or at that time, he's taken them all and all that, and he looks back and they're all there, then he'll just get bewildered. You know? And, okay, then it came out nice, blah, ha, 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 you know, like this. But it's got to be that Brahma is seriously corrected. This anartha is fully removed. Therefore, Krishna lets it go for a year. Because by that time, then Brahma will be completely confident that his Maya is working, everything's under control. Okay, now I can just go away and take care of this and that. I'll come back after a moment and see what's going on. His moment's a year. That's a long time to play a joke. You know? It's a long time. Because you could have just done it at that time, seen what Krishna did, and then, you know, and then be, you know, either right or wrong. But he left it for a year. So that's serious. That's a serious, how do you say, technically a breach of etiquette, you know, there, that he would, you know, somebody who could possibly be his boss, that he's just goofed on for a whole year. Like that. So therefore, Krishna lets it go on. Plus, Krishna has other things. Whatever Krishna does, then he does many, many things at once. Rupa Goswami mentions that. It's one of the qualities of Krishna. Whatever he does, many things happen. So during this time, then also, I don't know if it mentions in here, but one of the things that happened was that Krishna went back and then made the suggestion that the girls are getting older now, so now they should all be married. So then they arranged all their marriages to all the cowherd boys, like that. And so during that year, so that means Krishna married all the gopis, like that. Then after a year, when they came back, and the cowherd boys go home, find out they're already married. But in any case, so he married, because they wanted to marry them, so he did. He married them, like that. Though they didn't know that, but that's what happened. So many, many things are going on. He's having some good fun. He's interacting with everybody, the cows, the parents of the boys, all this. So whatever affection that they have, even for the devotees, even he gets to taste that. So that way he tastes everything. So he's having good fun. And Brahma's thinking he's having good fun. But then when he comes back after a year, then he is very confident. So then, therefore, when things turn around on him, that will create the strongest reaction. Then he will be the most kind of like chastened, like that, be corrected. So then, when he comes back, then it's very strong. It's very, very strong. So then he's corrected, he offers his prayers, he does all these things. So this is what's going on. Yeah. We can see also for ourselves, is this point, is a dramatic performance. Knowing that, then we just know what is our part, right? Krishna, what's he doing? Okay, what is his part in this Brahma Vimohan Lila? He's supposed to look like the bewildered cowherd boy. So he plays that part, and Brahma plays his part of being, the master of the universe, like that, So it's fun, it goes on. So in the same way as we see what is our position, what part do I have in this drama? Okay, and you go down the list and figure out who you are in the drama. And then accordingly you play your part according to the rules set by Krishna. And then within that drama, then everybody, it comes out nice and we get our benefit. Right? These rasa is the purpose of drama. You have a drama to taste rasa. Right? So the same way as this passion is taste rasa, not this rasa. That's if you identify with the part, then you taste this rasa. But if you don't, but you know this is my part to play, then you can get to tasting that rasa, transcendental rasa. So it's the same thing. It's Krishna's play, it's Krishna's rules. I follow them, then it pleases Krishna, because then he likes the way that the performance went. Like that. He's sitting in the heart, so he gets to watch the performance. Right? So it's just a matter of what drama you want it to be. Is it a comedy or is it humorous or is it a tragedy like that? But depending upon how we identify with it or not, then it's just like you look at Mahabharata. Mahabharata is never considered a tragedy, right? But you have things that are much worse happening to the Pandavas than ever happened to anyone in any drama written by any playwright in the world. Right? Like that. Few people get stabbed behind curtains and this and that, but not 640 million people. Right? Somebody is threatened to lose a little kingdom. They got their little spot out in the marsh, surrounded by, rolling fields or rocks or, something important. And that's what they're about to lose. You never see beyond their room anyway. And but here, they lose the world. Right? So it's all these things you can see, but it's never called a tragedy. Why? Because Krishna is always there. Krishna is part of the scene. Right? So the taste is not tragic. It's a matter you can see it in devotional life and these other things. So that's the difference. Is because they're playing their part and they're dependent upon Krishna, there is no tragedy. So that's the difference. But at the same time, if things are nice, then one appreciates those. Like that. But one doesn't get attached to the part. When the parts change, then it changes. is the way it, you know, when the scene changes, then, you know, that's the way it works. It's not that the scenes change and we come on and give the lines from the last scene, or I like the last scene best, so I'll say those lines. No, it doesn't work like that. So if we can understand, then we can take part in the Lord's Sankirtan pastimes. Then things work nicely for us. They'll go well for us. Otherwise, then we'll always have difficulty. Right? We can't understand why people don't say the lines they're supposed to say. Because the point is we didn't write the drama. Right? It's already going on. We can take what we have, the choice is how we want to take part. As a willing member, or we're just dragged along. Like that. That's the choice. Like that. You know, it's basically our attitude, what we're going to do with our part. Do we do it well? Do we not do it well? You know, if we do it well, we may get a funny little golden statue in appreciation. If we don't do it well, then can't remember what the other award was. They have a set of awards for the worst movies and acting and all that. I can't remember what it's called. Huh? Cool. Yeah, there's some kind of thing where the absolute worst acting and worst, you know, all the things that they have for the best, they have the opposite there, and then they goof on all that. So it's just a matter of which one you want to get. Any questions on this? Or comments? Yes.
Actually, look at the point that Brahma received revelation. Krishna's about Brahma's nature.
Well, Krishna's.
Can you explain what it is, what he does?
Yes. So the question is, how did that happen? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, how does it happen that in the beginning?
Brahma's understanding.
Brahma has understood everything about the spiritual world. Not everything. It means it says there he gets an idea of his position. Like that. So that means he has basically an understanding of who he is and the spiritual realm. But there's only so much that's revealed there. The intimacy is not so great because you're not party to it. Does that make sense? Like a Madhyaman may understand what is going on in the spiritual world. They may even understand the general position that they have, but they don't know any specifics. Therefore, those tastes are not fully understood. Does that make sense? So you'll see in there that those are all the glories of the Lord. But it's not the understanding of infinite rasa. He knows that there are expansions and this and that, but he knows them in their normal, like, formal form. So he's a bit surprised then when he sees something very informal, because everything is formal, like that. So it's just more is revealed. Krishna's taking him to another level, revealing the more. Yes, it's actually Krishna's mercy upon him, because it's something beyond what he knows. Like that. But that's not an ununderstandable situation. And it's also to teach others that they should know that even though he may be playing these pastimes, he's still God. You know, just in case someone forgets. Like that. So if Brahma, you know, if someone else makes the mistake, then okay, that's Indra, that's this, that's that. No, Brahma, you're not going to get beyond that. And then later we see in the Mohini Murti, he bewilders Shiva. So he can bewilder Shiva and Brahma, then that means everyone can be bewildered by him. Like that. Is that
okay? I fully understand the point that Brahma took Maya forms of the Javadhar in the past, because for 1 year there was a different relationship, because Krishna replaced whoever was taken. So if
the original forms would just go back into Krishna. Like that, because it says, Prabhupada mentions that they're expansions. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Abhi. These coward boys were but expansions of Krishna's personal self. Later, Krishna would show how Brahma, how he expands himself into everything as his personal pleasure, Ananda Chinmayana Sara. So it's just they're his expansions. So he can expand or not. So they were sleeping for that year. It's because on that time frame, it's nothing. You know? So it's there. So Brahma had the Maya calves, and Krishna replaced them. But he didn't have the real. It's just they are somewhere. Who knows exactly? But just like Sita, she wasn't there with Ravana. But everything will look as if it is Ravana. I mean, it is Sita. Like that. The illusion is that which is not. It looks the same, but it's not. You know, just like here, you think something here has value. But it actually doesn't. It's only because we all agree to put value on it. You know what I'm saying? If everybody agrees that something is valuable, then you can function as if it is. You know? So that's the thing. But because it's us, and we put ourselves in the center, then we will say, no, it actually has value. It's just like gold. It only has value if everybody agrees it has value. If they don't agree, the sages don't care for it, you can come and bring gold, and what do they care about it? You're not going to get anything. You know? They're not going to teach you, they're not going to get anything. Well, what do they care? So it's only because we agree to it, then it has meaning. So that's why the principle is, therefore only agree to things that Krishna says are worth agreeing to. Then it has substance, because then it's connected to Krishna. Like that. So then in that way, then it's fine. But it's otherwise it's a passage. Say what people like or not, it's the way it is. You know, you can guarantee that people are basically going to work in a certain way. You know, and if not, then there's some other principle that's working that makes it some adjustment. But otherwise, how is it that any theme and any kind of you know, modern themes of stories, they all work on the same cliches. They all work the same. You know it's going to be this and that. It's always the same stuff. Technically speaking, Krishna works on 10 main principles of situations that can happen to anybody in their, you know, from any sphere of life. Because if you really think about it, you think, no, so much variety. But what is their variety? There's a health problem. There's a money problem. Right? There's a relationship problem. You know? Like that. There's a facility problem. You know, it's also part of the health. So, okay. You know, maybe there's an intellectual problem. You know, like that. Then, an ego problem, but that's part of the relationship. Okay, then now you could have, okay, that money problem could be coming from ourselves, from our boss, from family members, you know, some other party that has nothing to do with us. You know what I'm saying? You take that and it breaks, what's going on? There's nothing much. So that's the thing, that's why it's called chewing the chew. But because of Maya, then it looks like it's got so much variety, but there's nothing much going on. That's why it's, after someone's been around for a while, basically they can give pretty good advice how to deal in different situations. Because the situations are pretty much the same. There's a little bit of difference in application, but the principles are the same. Does that make some sense? So, that's the... Yeah, that's how the material world functions. That's why Krishna and these other things can work. Because you're only dealing with a few. So simple ones deal with 10. More deal with division of 10 of each of those 10. You get 100 made. And more complex deal with divides those by 10. You know? So you have 100 situations within one of the 10. So it's just more detailed, but it's still dealing with the same thing. Like that. So it's, it, even though it seems mystic, it's, yes.
So any person who has problems because of lesser degree of faith in Christian world, is unlikely to be able to go into the mosque.
Does someone have, is their problems coming from a lesser degree of faith? In one sense, it's like there's two things happening at once. Is the problem itself, or what could be interpreted as a problem, and how we deal with it, or how we're affected by it. You know? Just like, let us say... let's take money. Yeah, okay. Now, let us say, you know, we have money, things are going on, and we have to go somewhere. It's a miserable day outside. You know, it's rainy, the wind's blowing, and all that. And going out into that, will that experience out in the rain be nice or miserable? Everything's going on normal in our life. What will be the focus of our attention? On the storm. Yeah, we'll go out because everything else is going on. Now let us say we've had some difficulty, let's say with money, and we've just gotten a whole bunch of money and it looks like everything's going to be really good, and we have to go outside into the same storm. Do we even notice a storm? No. So that's the thing, is that there's the situation and then how we interpret the situation. They're actually separate things. It means you have situations that naturally will be, better, you know, bring out or better enhance a particular mood. Like a miserable day is good for being miserable, you know, or getting with intimate friends or sitting in a warm place and having that kind of a thing. You know, it's, you know, not formal things, more intimate, more nice, eat some nice things, or, you know, like that. It's good for that, or it's good for being completely miserable and everything's, you know, useless and that. And, you know, you can criticize the universe for, you know, all the faults that they have and making your life miserable. You know, so it can be used in those ways. But what you do with it, that's the actual thing. Because the situation is in which you can do something. But the actual activity you do is separate from the situation. Right? Somebody can come into the kitchen, which is a situation, cook something nice. Someone else can come in there and make a mess. You know, you send a little kid in there, they crawl in, open all the boxes, dump everything else, make a nice big pile of something on the floor, you know, and this and that, you know. So it's what you do in the situation, because what is your goal of that situation? The kid's just to have fun. You know, the mother was to cook something nice. So because she wants to cook something nice, that she does proper cooking to get that. The kid was just having fun, so therefore, you know, the more mess you can make, the better it is. So that's the whole point of the Lord Chaitanya making the principle of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, and that is knowledge. There isn't something outside of those three. Everything else fits into that. If that's understood, then you can see how they all are connected, but at the same time are separate. You know, like that. So your desire can be one thing, your attachment another. But desire you don't act on. Attachment you act on. You have your desire to do something, but it may not happen. But your attachment you always do. So that's because sambandha is the desire, the attachment is the priority. So when there's a goal, then you'll act, abhideya. Otherwise you won't. Like that. Yeah. So, like that. So, unless that's it just won't function. Now, you can take that attachment to Krishna, so it's not your attachment. Attachment to pleasing Krishna, therefore, you can do the same activity without trying to do it for yourself. And that takes it to the transcendental level. So, that's what's going on, is there. Is that what you said? Did we ever answer your question? Distracted. Anything? Yes.
Which not inside the Krishna consciousness is on the Krishna Maya or the external Maya, and the devotees in the society, how much do they influence
by the
external Maya?
So is the movement and those within the movement under the control of which Mayas? The mission itself is purely under the internal potency. Then our taking part in that is under the internal potency, but as we identify with material energy, she'll deal with this as material energy because it's the same person. Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are the same person. You know, they just dress a little differently. So then, she'll just reciprocate like that. And it's just like the mother can be very pleasant if you're dealing nicely, and if you're dealing badly, then she can be who corrects you. But it's the same person, but the mood is different. Therefore, we identify it as two different persons, because mood, or rasa, being the essential element, therefore, then we identify them differently. Krishna is the same as Balaram, but we identify Balaram as different because the mood's different. But when Krishna expands in between the gopis, we don't say it's different. We say it's the same Krishna because the mood is the same. So that's why we can say Mahamaya, Yogamaya, but technically it's the same person. So then, to that degree of faith, faith is the bottom line. Everything's built on faith. Rama says prema is mature faith. So if faith is not there, even though one has progressed up to a higher platform, then the whole foundation of it being spiritual has been removed. But sometimes, as Nasi says, it's a very dangerous thing. Someone could be quite advanced. But if they lose faith in, you know, Guru Krishna, the Vaishnavas, the Shastra, then even though they have maturity, their realization drops down to the position of whatever level of faith they're at. So if they doubt Prabhupada or doubt some of the things he said, they put themselves on the same level of understanding. It means realization, I don't mean technical, they may be able to quote verses and this, but their realization is still at the point of someone where they're deciding whether they want to accept Prabhupada or not, or join this movement or not, or take it seriously or not. Yeah, well, it's Shraddha is within the thing where you're trying to understand where it is. And if they have no faith, yeah, then they put themselves back to there. Then they're doing Bhakti Sukritis. They're not technically doing devotional service. It's Bhakti Sukritis, so when they do get back on the path, they'll be farther ahead. So one has to be very careful. If one loses faith in it or says, oh, Baba doesn't know, or things are changing, one drops. It's not understood. Otherwise, why do you see sometimes senior devotees saying things or doing things that have absolutely nothing to do with our movement? Like that. Because they become bewildered. Brahma can become bewildered, and he's the head of our sampradaya. And that means anybody can become bewildered if they go to challenge Prabhupada or Krishna or the Acharya. So we see it doesn't matter how great they are, how learned they are, how long they've been around, that one has to stick very close to the lotus feet of the Guru. Because that is our connection. That's not there. We don't have a connection to spirit. Our only connection to spiritual is through the spiritual master, the Parampara. That's the only way we're recognized by Krishna. So Krishna says when you surrender to the Sampradaya, that's when you get recognized. Okay, now they're serious. But if you don't deal, then you become sidelined. But there is a difference, of course, is that if you do get it together, you're already there. You know, it's like Prabhupada making the point of, on Krishna's path, those who are near Krishna, but with their back to Krishna, if you can just turn them around, they're so close. Like that. And someone who's very far, maybe facing Krishna, but they have a long way to go. Like that. So that's the thing, is they're seniors, so they may get distracted. But we see Brahma, then as soon as he figures it out, bam, he's already back again in this position. He's not like the new bhaktas. That's also a mistake. That's definitely a neophyte's position, is that you know, someone's made a mistake, so it's got to be some external thing, you know, some form of eternal damnation, you know, how close you can get to that. So it has to be external. It's there, you can see it, you know. The guy is sitting under the tree, you know, he is wearing birch bark, you know, he does have this pole with a wine cup hanging off the end of it, so everybody knows his problem, his anartha, his intoxication, you know. You know, so they can tell, so then they can go, oh, okay, yeah, you know. See what happens to people who do that. You know, my son, see what happens, you know, he should be very careful. He was a great man before, but he had associations. So it works nicely for those with less faith. Those with more faith, then they can discriminate in that fine line. So that's why then they look at what's going to purify the person, actually. Because Prayaschitta never purified anybody. Right? The sixth canto is spoken to make this point clear. So this is where Maya comes in. Is even though there are philosophies there, devotees don't apply it in their life. Because what happens is philosophies for, you know, spiritual. Then there's real life. So what they do is they very much separate varna and ashram. And because ashram is spiritual and varna is social or economic. Then in doing that, then they only take scripture as spiritual. Right? It means if it's not spiritual, it's maya. So then now we need something to explain to us what is, you know, our economic and social basis. So since the scriptures that are spiritual are maya, therefore we take material scripture, material books, material, you know, how to do it, you know, bestsellers and all these kind of things. And so then that's another maya. So then how does that connect it? And we can say, well, we're doing it for Krishna, but how is it connected? It means unless you can technically explain how it is, sentiment's good. But unless the sentiment is connected, it doesn't become spiritualized sentiment. You know? It means it is a process, it is a science. Prabhupada says the complete science of bhakti yoga. So it's a science. That means you can identify all the way down from point, you know, from Krishna all the way down to, you know, whatever I'm doing, the path. So then if that's there, then one stays. So to that degree that the faith is there, then one is not affected by maya. Because what's actually happening is faith. When you go from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha, that means the faith is increased to the point where now you trust sadhus. When it has increased, the faith has increased more, now you want to do like the sadhus and follow the path they found. So you take up Bhajana Kriya. When the faith is more, then you have faith that this path is the real path and the material path is not. Therefore, then you become fixed in devotional service. Then you get nishcha. When you have faith that actually the only happiness in this world is the holy name and devotional service, then that gives you ruchi. You get taste for the holy name because you don't have a taste for something else. When that faith increases again, then where the only thing worth having is devotional service, Krishna and his devotees, and anything connected to Krishna, then that's a sakti. Then when your whole emotional foundation is, you can see, is only in Krishna, that's bhava. And then when you see that it's just whatever, what is love, that that's only Krishna. And the faith is that's it, there's nothing else. It's not there in the children, it's not there in the duties of the house, it's not there in pleasing the, you know, senior members of the family. Then comes the prayer. So then it goes beyond. So then that's what it is. So that's mature faith. So that's what's happening. So if to the degree of faith, then to that degree, then they'll be more or less affected by the mortal nature. Basically, at nishta, the effect will be very minimal. The body will run according to the mortal nature. You know, the intelligence, the mind will still function according to that. Because that's the way it's made out of material energy. it's just like a car. Whether it's a devotee car or it's not a devotee car, it still functions the same way. But how it's used, that's what's different. It's used for Krishna instead of that. But it's still going to work in the same way. But now it's used for Krishna. So then they're not affected. They're separate. They see the difference between themselves and how they function. You know, I have this body, it functions in this way. I function, I as a soul function in that way. But we have a, you know, we have a neutral ground in which we can come to an understanding. You know, and that's the connection to Krishna. So then it can function. So to that degree that faith is there, that Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my protector, you know, then to that degree, then the external energy has less effect and the internal potency has more. Because the point is the energy needs shelter, right? Energy is not separate. Energetic is separate, Krishna is, but we have to take shelter of something. That's our nature, that's the way we are. As jiva, we have to take shelter. So we have a choice. Is Krishna our protector and maintainer, or is the material energy? Right? Yeah, that's the thing. So where is our gain and safety, right? Krishna is our protector, right? That is our safety. Krishna is our maintainer, that's our gain. Right? These are the two problems of material consciousness, gain and safety. Krishna talks about it in the Gita. He's always saying, give up this idea of gain and safety, surrender to me. So your gain is in him, your safety is in him. So if you look at it, anything that goes on that we will call Maya comes back to those two things. It's our gain, it's our safety. When we see loss or we see we're not safe, then that's when our material desires come up. And when they're satisfied, that's when we're peaceful. So that's how you tell if we're advancing. Is if when everything's peaceful in that, and it's very nice, you know, Krishna, yeah, this movement's great, the devotees are great, you know, it's fabulous, but then when things go wrong, that's when you find out if you're spiritual or not. You know, do you take shelter of Krishna, or do you take shelter of your own means to, therefore, try to control that material energy, because control is safety. If you can control it, then you can get gain from it. You know, so that's your attachment, that's your enjoyment. So you see, it always comes, it's the same thing, just in different lights. I and mine, you know, control and attachment, or envy and attachment, fear and attachment, you know, gain, safety and gain. It's the same thing, just different, it's all synonyms, they're the same. All it is I am God and I am the enjoyer. That's what it boils down to. So these are how you say, your original sins. Like that. So everything's based on it. Every activity that anybody does in material energy is based on these two. Like that. Because if these two are correct, means if my platform of who I am, my identity, is I am servant of Krishna, my goal is to please Krishna, what activities will I do? Right? Devotional. If my identity is connected with the material nature and my goal is to get benefit out of material nature, what activity will I do? That's why you don't have to consider the third. You just have to look at Sambandha and Prayojana. If that's right, Abhideya will naturally follow. If Sambandha and Prayojana are off, your Abhideya is going to be off. It's guaranteed. So those two are what started. If those two are put in place, because it goes thinking, feeling, willing. So first you look at the Sambandha, then you look at the Prayojana, then you look at the Abhideya. Thinking is the Sambandha, feeling is the Prayojana. And then Abhideya, that's your willing. So it's just science, that's how it works. It just moves in there. So that's the thing, is that therefore we have to see as I have my duties, that's the varna, is that I have my duties to take care and maintain the situations that we're in, but we always have to remember it's Krishna's situations, it's Krishna's everything that we're working with. All it is a medium, or our part in the drama in which we can prove our affection for Krishna by playing the drama the way he likes. So he likes Grihasthas to do this, he likes the Brahmacharis to do that, he likes the Brahmins to do this, the Kshatriyas that. That's the way he likes it. That's the way he wrote the drama. He likes it that way. We do it, then he's happy. Then it works. You know, then we prove to Krishna that we want to play the part. You know? And then if we're willing to play here, then he can be sure that you'll be able to play there. Right? So then you go to Gokul. There you have both. You have the spiritual world. You have your spiritual form. Now you can see if you really want to be part of the pastimes. You know, or are you interested in material energy? Because material energy is also there at the same time. So that's the thing. That's the kasta shakti. Is material and spiritual in the same spot at the same time, and you can operate either with the same activity. It's just a matter of changing the consciousness. You change it this way, it's spiritual. You change it that way, it's material. So that's the kasta shakti. So that's there. As soon as then we're in the fire of Krishna consciousness, then the modes of nature don't affect. The body will always run under the modes. That doesn't matter. Now the thing is it being directly worked by Maya, or is it being directly worked by Krishna? That's the difference. So for the great persons, then Krishna himself operates. You know? For others, Yoga Maya, for others, Mahamaya. But still, Mahamaya is doing it for Krishna. So depending upon where it is, then it starts to... Does that make any sense? Like that. So therefore, one always has to be careful. One shouldn't be confident. You know? And that's why the example is given of water on the lotus leaf. Is that at any time, one can slip. So one always has to be on one's guard to do nicely. And then if one is always on his guard, then it's not the time. Because we have to remember, okay, we've been around 20 years, 30 years. But that's 20, 30 years compared to unlimited lifetimes of practice and material existence. So it's not really enough to offset it. The strength is that we're focused on Krishna. So habit is developing. But the strength is that we're being sensitive to it and being careful for Krishna. So that's what keeps the neophyte in the movement, that's what keeps the senior person in the movement. The habit of the senior person is more developed, so if they're sensitive, it will be more. But many drop the sensitivity and run on their habit. But that habit's not may not be enough to balance an unlimited, you know, material existence. So that's why one can't become proud. That's why we see so many stories, even the biggest run into problem if they are not careful. Is that okay? Yes.
So what did you remember Srila Prabhupada and Guru in 1975? They tell the same thing there about pride, how so difficult it is to survive. He said the secret is menial service.
Menial service.
That's why even Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, attempt to do what was in the menial service of his Guru. Then you can rub up the false ego of pride, maybe you make
it. Oh yeah, I said that the other day. Well, I said, you know, what was it? Even though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even he had to go to Guru Kosh.
Perform
menial
service.
No, it's true. We think we're special. Yeah, because it's always the thing is as we're around, we have habit, we have knowledge. So that's one of the biggest things, worries in the Vedic culture. It's called Veda Garva, pride of knowledge. Like that, as you become more and more educated, more and more trained, more and more practiced, then the tendency is to become proud. So that's one of the biggest things that they're so careful to avoid. That's why you see that combination of study and menial service simultaneously in the Vedic culture. So then they balance. You have to learn. Otherwise, how you become part of the community. But at the same time, as you can't become proud, therefore the menial service. So the two work. And the interesting thing is they nourish each other. As you have more knowledge, then you understand the need to serve. As you serve, you realize that knowledge and want to gain more. so they also nourish each other. They balance each other and they nourish each other. So, and then you avoid crying. It's a good point. Krishna is beyond spiritual.
Yeah, and I wonder, I didn't understand this.
You didn't understand how Krishna is beyond spiritual?
Yeah, because they were Ramana, and they
said, yeah, that's so we can understand. I'm saying is, when you go, can we explain?
What do you explain about the man that spiritual?
Spiritual means the all the energies. He's beyond that. See, we use spiritual meaning it's not affected by the material energy. Right? You have chit achit, what's transcendental and what's not. So, what is affected by the material energy, or is material energy, that's achit, or ignorance. What is not, then that's transcendental. But Krishna is transcendental to that. So it's like you have material spiritual, and then you have Krishna, who's, you know, beyond that. Because Krishna is the source of both.
There's something
that
you have shastra that you have.
I'm saying it's a quote by Prabhupada. I think it's a
Gita.
Huh? Trishloki Gita. Trishloki, which ones are those? That's 14? Yeah, I'm the source of all. Ramdo hi Pradushita. I'm the source of everything. No, not that one. He's the original person. Okay, you know that verse. In the Gita, there's the fallible, means the conditioned souls. There's the infallible, which are the liberated souls. And then beyond these two is the original person. See, as we say spiritual, because we're using the term spiritual meaning that it's not material. Right? Does that make it? Vaikuntha means no kunta, no anxiety. So it's given in relationship to the material world, because this is where we are, this is what we're working at. In Vaikuntha, they don't worry that it's Vaikuntha. Right? Here we do. We make these distinctions here. Right? But there they don't bother with that. So the whole idea is that we're trying to get to this position so we distinguish between material and spiritual. But Krishna is beyond that. He already is not conditioned here. If we're talking he's not here, then we say spiritual. But he's the source of spiritual, so he can't be what he's the source of. He has to be beyond. But we're energy. We cannot understand energetic. So how will understand it? So that's why, that's where the limit of the knowledge goes. That's where it goes. So there is a limit to how far knowledge can go. Because in the spiritual world, it doesn't function on knowledge. It functions on rasa. Knowledge is for getting one out of the material world into the spiritual world. That's its function. But it's not for, and by doing that, it removes the anarthas, or the obstacles to us developing that love for Krishna. Right? That's the purpose of knowledge. Otherwise, we see the residence of the spiritual world, knowledge isn't the main thing. It's love that's the main thing. But here we don't have that love, but we have love for the material energy. So through knowledge, we detach ourselves from that love for the material energy and transfer it to the spiritual. Does that make any sense?
It
means they are one, but they're also different. See, that's our philosophy. Simultaneously one and different. So you have to accept both. If you only accept that they're one, that's called Advaita. Or if you have the Vaishnava attitude, then you can have the Shuddha Dvaita or the Shishta Dvaita. Or maximum you can have is Dvaita Advaita, where you look at it, it's one. And then a totally different attitude is look at it, it's two. right? But to look at it at the same time, the one and different, that's our philosophy. So it's you know, worth trying to accommodate. Is there one, but they're different? It means you have to be, if you can't tell the difference between Krishna and Radharani, then you may not be able to address the problem. You know. Why two names? Like that. You know, so this difference is where rasa is tasted. Therefore, there's difference. See, the point is that there's a principle that in the spiritual world, it, amazingly enough, it's full of devotees. I'm just saying, it's full. I mean, you can't just, if you think this place is packed, you know, you've got to go to the spiritual world, right? There they don't work on, you know, European spacing. So they can pack a lot more into one place, right? So then it's an important principle to get used to, is that we have to be able to work with devotees, because if we only work with Krishna and not with the devotees, Krishna is not as pleased as if we work with him and the devotees, because to him what's dear is the devotees, right? To Krishna himself is not what's dear, it's the devotees that are dear. So his attention is on the devotees. That's why the devotees are known as the supreme object. He's the supreme subject. Everybody talks about him. But him being the supreme, his focus is on the devotees. So they're the supreme object.
In my body, when I stay very busy, I stay like crazy, I don't have a good relationship. In my world, when I don't have too much service, I am more recognized with another devotee. I have more relationship with another devotee. And I can't help all the devotees. And I look this from another devotee too, no? I look at some devotees here in Mayapur, then you're coming to the temple.
That's another thing. They are
very good. And they are very good. They have very good relationship with another devotee. No?
It means it's a point of, see, you have two things that you're dealing with here. You have one's natural condition congeniality. Right? Means whether they're a devotee or not, there's someone who can move nicely with people or not. That's one thing. Second thing is that you can have what is developed by appreciating devotees, then they either develop that or enhance that. Right? So if you see someone who you would consider is not necessarily a great spiritualist, but they're a nice person, they're just a nice person. Like that. So the point is it's a science. Being nice is a science. And whether it's for the non-devotees or the devotees, it's the same science, because the science has been made by Krishna. You know, speaking nicely with devotees, dealing nicely with them, being considerate, you know, working with them, all these different things. So it works for everybody. That's the point of the Vedic culture. Not everybody's Vaishnavas in the Vedic culture. Many cannot be. I mean, many may not be. It's very common. Like that. So, but this culture is common. So they know that you speak like this, you talk like this, you deal like this, you interact like this, you're trustworthy like this. And it works. You know. So that's the point. Does that make sense? So it's like you cook. It doesn't matter if you're a devotee or a farmer, you know, you take you know, some ghee in, drop some potatoes in there, cook it for a certain amount of time, they get cooked. It's not that only devotees can cook a potato like that, but that was the situation, and the Poles were really being trouble. So were the Irish. So, like that.
Also the Russians.
So this is the point, is that it works. It's a science. That's the thing. Sciences then can be operated. Only devotional service is the transcendental science. That can only be operated by a devotee. But all the Vedic sciences can be operated by anybody. You know? That's why, unless you use them for Krishna, then you have to be careful. Because they can also take you right out into the material energy. These are material. And you will mistakenly think it's spiritual because it's shastra. Like that. So one has to be careful. So the point is that you have to see is that then see what it is. When you don't do as much service and you're nice and everybody's happy, and then when you do service and everybody thinks you're not so nice and happy, what has changed? It's not the service. Something else has changed. Right? Because there's many people who do lots of service and they're happy with them. And there's people who do no service and they're happy. There's people who do lots of service and no service and they don't like it. Right? So the point is that what is going on? What is your dealings with the devotees like when you're doing less, and what's it like when you're doing more? And just do more service with that attitude. It's all attitude. That's the thing. That's the main thing, attitude. And then there's some activities that connect with that attitude. But that's the whole thing. So if you can make that work, then it works. So just analyze. That's the whole point of Krishna consciousness. That's why the word consciousness is used, to be conscious. So to analyze, see what, why. Like that. The sentiment is prominent. We're trying to get to transcendental sentiment, but it has to be based on philosophy. Otherwise, we may lose that sentiment. You understand? Men have a tendency to come into the sentiment through the knowledge. Right? They'll look at it, okay, all these funny guys with the bald heads are jumping up and down. They look pretty happy, okay? So, you know, what are they doing? Why are they doing it? And they'll analyze that whole thing. Then they'll get into it. Then they'll get there and jump up and down and be mad men like anybody else. Right? Ladies will tend to see, what is that mood? They look happy. What is that? And they get into it and taste it. See, it does make you happy. But then they have to back it up with that science. Otherwise, the tendency is something may change and then they don't get that taste. If the taste is not there, it'll be thrown out. So that is the thing. So both have to be done. The approach may be different. But it means, in other words, it's just like you have the thing of starting at the Lord's lotus feet and going up to his head. But Prabhupada mentioned that when Kunti, when she saw Krishna at that time in Dwarka, she looked at his waist first, went to his head, went down to his feet, and then back up to the waist. So he said she completed the cycle, but she just started differently. This means the whole thing has to be done. So traditionally you start here and there, but it's whatever the situation was, that's where she saw him first, so that's where she started from. So it doesn't matter, but it has to be done. So therefore the science has to be looked at. You have to analyze why you do things, why you're a devotee, why you do the things you do. Unless you can give an explanation, one, how you keep yourself fixed on that path, two, how you convince anyone else. Right? As a preaching movement, we should be able to convince someone else. That. Explain why. Like that. They ask why we do anything we do in our life. You should be able to explain it. Then you're in knowledge. Right? Knowledge doesn't mean sentiment goes. It just enhances it. It keeps it strong. Otherwise, sentiment is fluid. Knowledge is fixed. So if your sentiment is connected to knowledge, then it also, your sentiment stays fixed. Otherwise, it becomes all over the place. you know, one day ecstatic about the devotees, the next day they're the worst people in the world, the next day then, oh, okay, they're all right, and the next day, okay, these devotees are all right, but those ones are that, and the next day after that, and that switches. I mean, it's rough. I mean, unless you really like, you know, roller coasters, then okay, you know, but it's better to be a little more stable. So stability comes from that knowledge. But knowledge is not enough, because the taste comes in the mind. So unless the mind accepts it, then it's not solid. So when both are there, it's solid. If it's only intellectual and the mind hasn't accepted, then it's just theory. If the mind has accepted it, but not the intelligence, it's sentiment. Both of those can be disturbed. So you have to have both. That's why Krishna consciousness is not dry, at the same time it's not sentimental. We have the most technical philosophy, but at the same time as we have the greatest taste. So we should end here. Vrataraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sarvadeta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jayate Gauru Vrata.